guys. Welcome back. We're going to go ahead and talk about Jennifer Pan. Jennifer Pan, born June 17th, 1986, is a Canadian woman who was convicted of a 2010 kill-for-hire attack targeting both of her parents, resulting in one death in response to their alleged severely abusive tiger parenting in her mid-20s. The crime took place at the Pan residence in Unionville, Markham, Ontario, in the Greater Toronto Area. Jeremy Grimaldi, a journalist of the Markham Economist and Sun, and the author of A Daughter's Deadly Deception, The Jennifer Pan Story, stated that the affair captivated many, if not nothing else, than the sheer intrigue of a case involving matricide, a rarity in Canada. Now, tiger parenting is a form of strict or demanding parenting. Usually, the tiger parents push and pressure their children to attain high levels of academic achievement or success in high status extracurricular activities such as music, using authoritarian parenting methods. It's most likely found in Asian cultures. Jennifer Pan's mother, Bic Hapan Nilong, and father Han Pan were Chinese diaspora immigrants to Canada. Han was born and educated in Vietnam, moving to Canada in 1979 as a political refugee. Bic also immigrated as a refugee. The couple were married in Toronto and lived in Scarborough. Their two children are Jennifer, born 1986, and Felix, born 1989. The Pans found work at Magna International, an auto parts manufacturer in Aurora, Ontario. Han worked as a tool and die maker, while Bic made car parts. The couple persistently worked hard for their money to ensure that their children had the upbringing and opportunities they themselves had missed out on. Han and Bic were thrifty, and by 2004 were financially stable enough to purchase a large house with a two-car garage on a residential street in Markham, a city in the Greater Toronto Area with a large Asian population. Bic drove a Lexus ES300 and Han drove a Mercedes-Benz C-Class W203. They accumulated $200,000 in savings. Jennifer's parents set many goals for their children and had extremely high expectations for them. Jennifer was made to take piano lessons at the age of 4, as well as figure skating classes, where she trained most days during the week. She had hopes of becoming an Olympic figure skating champion until she tore a ligament in her knee. Jennifer attended Mary Ward Catholic Secondary School, where she played the flute in the school band. According to her high school friend Karen Kay, Hohan was seen as the classic tiger dad, and Bic was his reluctant accomplice. The Pans picked Jennifer up when classes ended each day and monitored her extracurricular activities very closely. They never permitted her to date boys while attending high school or to attend high school dances out of fear that these activities would distract her from her academic commitments. Jennifer was not permitted to attend any parties during the time with her parents believed she was attending university. At the age of 22, she had never gone to a club, been drunk, visited a friend's cottage, or gone on vacation without her family. Jennifer and her friends reportedly regarded this upbringing as restrictive and greatly oppressive. Despite her parents' high expectations and that Jennifer had received good grades in lower school, throughout high school, her grades were somewhat average in the 70% range, except for music. Multiple times, she forged report cards using false templates to show her parents that she had received straight A's when she had not. When Jennifer failed calculus class in grade 12, Ryerson University rescinded her early admission. As she could not bear to be perceived as a failure, she began to lie to those she knew, including her parents, and pretending she was attending university. Instead, she sat in cafes, taught as a piano instructor, and worked in a restaurant to earn money. In order to maintain the charade, Jennifer told her parents she had won scholarships, later falsely claiming that she had accepted an offer into the pharmacology program at the University of Toronto. She went to the extent of purchasing secondhand textbooks and watching videos related to pharmacology in order to create notebooks full of purported class notes she could show her parents. Jennifer also requested permission from her parents to stay near the campus with a friend throughout the week. She was actually staying with her boyfriend, Daniel Chi Kwong Wong, whom she had met in high school. He was of mixed Chinese and Filipino ancestry, resided in Ajax, and worked at a Boston pizza restaurant. Wong, once a student at Mary Ward, transferred to Cardinal Carter Academy in North York, Toronto, due to low grades, and later studied at York University. He was an active marijuana dealer. While pretending to complete her degree at the University of Toronto, Pan told her parents that she had started working as a volunteer at the Hospital for Sick Children. Han and Bix soon became suspicious when they realized she did not have a hospital ID that badge or a uniform. On one occasion, Bick followed her daughter to work and quickly discovered her deception. In a state of shock, Han wanted to throw Jennifer out of the house, but her mother persuaded him to allow her to stay. As she had not completed high school due to failing calculus, she eventually began working to finish high school completely and was later encouraged by her parents to apply to university. She was forever hell-bitten to contact Wong or to go anywhere except for her piano teaching job. Nevertheless, she and Wong spoke secretly during this period. By the time that Jennifer was 24, Wong had grown weary of trying to pursue a relationship with her. As Jennifer was so daunted and restricted by her parents that she lived at home and only met him in secret, Wong began to date another young woman, whom he soon fell in love with. Pan quickly invented a new story and told Wong that a man had entered her house, showing what appeared to be a police badge. She then told him that several men had rushed in and gang-raped her. After this, she insisted that a bullet was mailed to her, telling Wong that it was sent from his new girlfriend. In spring 2010, Pan was in contact with Andrew Montemayor, a high school friend who she claims had boasted in their high school years about robbing people at knife point, an assertion denied by Montemayor. Montemayor introduced her to Ricardo Duncan, a goth kid whom Pan gave $1,500 to kill her father in the parking lot at his workplace. Duncan says that she gave him $200 for a night out, but that he returned it, and that he rebuffed her when she asked him to kill her parents. Pan and Juan were back in contact at this time, and according to the police, came up with a plan to hire professional hitmen for $10,000 to kill her parents. Calculating that she would then inherit $500,000, they planned to move in together. Wong connected Pan with a man, Lanford Roy Crawford, Jamaican-born, whom he called Homeboy, and gave her a SIM card and an iPhone so that she can contact Crawford without using her usual cell phone. Crawford contacted another man named Eric Sean Sniper Carty, who in turn contacted Montreal-born David Milligan. Crawford lived in Brampton and Milligan lived in Toronto, while Carty, who previously lived in Rexdale, Toronto, at the time did not have a fixed residence. The Crown prosecution stated that Milligan was one of the hitmen. Carty was later found responsible for an unrelated murder, and journalist Grimaldi stated that Carty was a repeated violent offender. The murder took place at the Pan House in Unionville neighborhood in Markham, Ontario, on November 8, 2010. Pan unlocked the front door of the family home when she went to bed, then spoke by phone to Melvin shortly afterwards. Melvin and two other people entered the home through the unlocked front door, all carrying guns. In the court testimony, the Crown did not establish the identity of the other two hitmen. Wong and Crawford were at work. Carty stated that he was the driver for those who broke into the house and that he selected them and was involved in plotting the attack. He did not state that he was one of the three or that he had directly attacked others. Grimaldi stated that the identity of the trigger person remains unknown. After demanding all the money in the house and ransacking the main bedroom, the three men took Bick and Han to the basement, where they shot them multiple times. Bick was killed, but Han survived his wounds. The three men then took all the cash that was in the house, including $2,000 from Pan, and left. Pan claimed that they tied her up, but that she managed to free her hands and dial 911. Pan was treated at Markham Stouffville Hospital before being moved to a trauma unit at Sunnybrook Hospital in Toronto by aircraft. The evening after the murder, Pan underwent her first interview with the police. Pan was arrested on November 22, 2010, during her third interview at the Markham Police Station, District 5 of York Regional Police. During that interview, Pan admitted that she hired killers, but stated that she hired them to kill her. The interrogating police officer, William Bill Goez, falsely told Pan that he had computer software that could analyze untruths in statements and that there were satellites that used infrared technology to analyze movements in buildings. In Canada, police are legally allowed to lie to those they are interrogating in regard to the evidence in the trial. I'm going to read that part again. Wow. Okay, I'm going to read this again. In Canada, police are legally allowed to lie to those they are interrogating in regard to the evidence in the trial. As well, Canadian police are legally allowed to lie to those they are interrogating in regard to the evidence in the trial, as well as in regard to the strategies they are using. Okay, so Canadian police are allowed to lie you to. That's cute. Gotez had used the Reed techniques to obtain Pan's confession. Milligan was arrested at the Jane Finch Mall in North York, Toronto, on April 14th, 2011. Wow. Carty was arrested at the prison He was held in Maplehurst Correctional Complex in Milton, Ontario, on April 15, 2011. Wong was arrested on April 26, 2011, at his place of employment. Crawford was the final suspect arrested, entering custody on May 4, 2011, in Brampton. The trial of Pan and her accomplices began on March 19, 2014 in Newmarket and continued for 10 months. All pleaded not guilty to the charges of first-degree murder, attempted murder, and conspiracy to commit murder. Okay. At the trial, York Regional Police evidence included exhaustive tracking of the mobile device movements and text message traffic, including over 100 messages sent between Pan and Wong in the 6 hours prior to the killing. Further evidence centered around the atypical nature of the break-in or robbery shootings and irregularities in Pan's testimony. Pan's obsession with Wong, her lack of true emotion, and a confession regarding the attack and recognition of the trauma she underwent were also detailed. A major irregularity was that Pan was not assaulted, blindfolded, taken to the basement, nor shot, leaving behind an eyewitness to the attack. If you're gonna, like, do something like that, and you're not gonna, like, kill said person, you're only leaving yourself to get in shit. Like, you're leaving behind vital information. Like, why would you want to do that? Evidence from Pan, which differed greatly from Pan's version, also undermined her credibility, as did her inability to recreate the conditions of her 911 call when her hands were bound behind her, given that the police were the ones who had actually cut the shoelace to release her. The trial concluded over 200 exhibits. Over 50 witnesses testified at the trial. Pan, Wong, Milligren, and Crawford were all convicted on December 13, 2014, and each received a life sentence with no chance of parole for 25 years. Originally, Cardi was tried with the other perpetrators, Edward Sapino. Cardi's lawyer fell ill, so around the summer of 2014, his case was declared a mistrial. In December 2015, Cardi received an 18-year sentence after pleading guilty to conspiring to commit murder. He will be eligible for parole after 9 years. According to Cardi, he did not wish to subject Hand to Pan to another criminal trial. Jennifer Pan was sentenced to life with no chance of parole for 25 years for the murder of her mother and attempted murder of her father. Pan's father and brother requested a court order that banned her from ever contacting members of her surviving family again. Despite the objections of the defense lawyer, the judge filed the order. Pan is also barred from ever contacting Wong again. As of 2016, Pan was serving her sentence at the Grand Valley Institution for Women in Kitchener, Ontario. Wong previously held in Lindsay, Ontario, but at Collins Bay Institution in Kingston, Ontario. Milligren was at Atlantic Institution in Renus, New Brunswick. Crawford was sent to Kent Institution in Agassiz, British Columbia. Cardi, who requested to go to a federal prison in Western Canada or Atlantic Canada, was still at the province Millhaven Assessment Unit, awaiting to transfer to a federal prison. Cardi, who later moved to Kent, died in his cell on April 26, 2018. Bik Ha Pan's funeral was held on November 15, 2010, and took place at the Ogden Chapel in Scarborough. A funeral for Bick Ha's father was held. According to Pan, prior to Bick Ha, to satisfy a Chinese custom that asks for older members of the family to have their funerals first, Jennifer Pan had organized both funerals and had been asked to do so. Bick Ha was born on was buried on November 19th. Han Pan would not attend due to his injuries. And that's the end of the story of Jennifer Pan.